And we're holding on Nun Vav Amr Aleph, a little bit above the middle of the Amr. The line begins Yoim, eighth line. We learned yesterday, now the Mishnah had told us that a Nazir who becomes a Mitzora, we said that the days of his Tzaras don't count towards his Nazirus. They don't make him forfeit the days that he had so far, but the days during which he's a confirmed Mitzora and outside the Machna, and the days during which he has to count, the 7 days that he has to count between the beginning of his Tara and the next stage of his Tara, those don't count towards his Nazirus in the sense, in other words, that his Nazirus is suspended during that time. So whatever, however many days there were left of his Nazirus when he became a Mitzora Mukhlat, those are he's going to have to count that same number of days when he's actually finished with his Tzaras, even though that number of days may have passed during his Tzaras. So now, Rav Chista was telling us that there's a difference in that regard, whether he has Nazirus Mu'etes or Nazirus Meruba. Rav Chista had said that the reason why we would say that his Nazirus has to be suspended is because as a Mitzor, he has to shave his hair twice. And then, of course, at the end, if it was a Nazirus Mu'etes, if it was a 30-day Nazirus or something close to that, he wouldn't know if there weren't 30 days left of his Nazirus, let's put it that way, then there wouldn't be enough time for him to regrow his hair before he has to shave it for Nazirus. So therefore, necessarily, some of the days would count and some would not. Tosfos gave a scenario where, let's say he was a Nazir for 50 days and he became a Mitzora partway through it, where we might end up saying that, let's say he took on Nazirus for 53 days, he became a Mitzora 20 days into it, and the Tzaras, the Yimei Chaluta and the Yimei Sfirai ran for 14 days, which brings him now, if all those days counted, we would say it would be 34 days into his Nazirus, and then he'd only have 19 days to go, but 19 days is not enough to count, is not enough to grow his hair, therefore he needs another 11 days. Some of the days would count, some of them would not. Rav Chista would say, though, that it really all depends. The point is just you need 30 days from his second shaving for Tzaras until the end of his Nazirus. And if you have enough time, if the Nazirus is long enough and the Tzaras took place early enough in it, then he wouldn't need to lose any days at all. So we had Rami Bachama brought a question on that from a Mishnah in the next Perek. We had the scenario over there where a person is Suffolk Tomei Mes and also Suffolk Mitzora, where we end up saying that the result is he has to do multiple shavings and he has to bring multiple sets of korbanos and do all kinds of other things. And the point is that we say over there that he's not fully finished his Nazirus until four times the length of his Nazirus. So if it was 30 days Nazirus, then he'd have to wait 120 days before his Nazirus is definitely over. If his Nazirus was a year, he'd have to wait 4 years, etc. Whereas according to Rav Chista's logic, in the case where his Nazirus was a year, then he shouldn't have to wait for 4 years. It should be enough to wait 3 years and 30 days, because at one point during that whole process, he needs only 30 days for his hair to regrow. So that was one question on Rav Chista. Then the Gemara continues now, Va'oid Mosiv Rav Ashi. Now Rav Ashi points out another contradiction against Rav Chista. A Braisa says, Aimly Eli. Now, of course, the Pasuk tells us that when the Nazir becomes Tomei Mes, then he forfeits all the Nazirus until that point. By Yomim Rishonim Yiplu, as the Pasuk phrases, that the earlier days fall away. So the Abraiser says, Aimly Eli Yemei Tuma Shein Olam Lamin Aminyan. So from the Pasuk, you would only know that days of Tumas Mes don't count towards his Nazirus. Yemei Chaluta Minayin. How do we know the same is true also of the days when he's a confirmed Mitzora? And the Braisa continues, V'dinhu, you can learn this from a Mamotzinu. You can learn this from a Mamotzinu, which is another name for a Binyan Av. Yemei Tumah Megaleach Umevi Korban. At the end of his days of Tumah from Mess, he has to shave and bring a Korban. Yemei Chaluta Megaleach Umevi Korban. At the end of his days of confirmed of being a confirmed Metzora, he's also going to have to shave and bring a korban, because in that case, he's shaving because of Tzaraas and bringing korbanos because of Tzaraas. Therefore, we can draw an analogy between them. Mayu may tumose and olam lemin aminyan, just like the days when he's tomei mess don't count towards his nazirus. Afi may chalote and olam lemin aminyan. The same way, his days when he's a confirmed mitzora shouldn't count towards his count of nazirus. So we would learn it that way. However, the Braisa says that's not a valid binyan av, because loy, you could answer back, not necessarily, there's a difference. You could say, you know why? The days of his tumas mess don't count towards his nazirus, because not only they don't count, they actually cancel out the earlier days that he counted. As we said, as the pasuk says, so if he had been a nazir, let's say for 20 days, and now he became tomei, not only are the 7 days when he's tomei mess not counting towards his nazirus, but he even forfeits the 20 days he did so far, and he has to start all over again. How are you comparing that to the days when he's a confirmed mitzvah? We're fine. You want to say they don't count, but at least they don't cancel out the previous days. And Tosfos and the Rosh refer to a Gemara earlier in our Masechta that says that the Pasuk makes it clear, since it says Ki Tomei Nizroi, that his crown of Nizirus has become Tomei, and from that we learn, since those words weren't needed in the Pasuk, we learn from that that it's only that it's only Tumas mess that makes him cancel out his nazirus, not shaving and not wine. So if he drank wine during the nazirus, or he shaved during the nazirus, then he's not losing the previous days. So a certain number of days may not count. We said if he shaves, he has to wait until he regrows hair for 30 days. If he drank wine with Rabbanon, we learned earlier in the Masechta, he has to keep nazirus for an extra number of days to compensate for that. Well, that's only the Rabbanon anyway, but the point is that we see from that limud from the Pasuk that nothing other than Trumas Mes cancels out the previous days. So now you could say that breaks down your Mamatzinu. You see that there is a Chumra in Trumas Mes that you don't have in the Tumah of a Metzora. So now what should make us say that the days of the Tumah of a Metzora should make him lose any days at all, or should not even count towards his nazirus? Maybe the days of his saras do fully count towards his nazirus. So amauta kavachoimu. So now you're going to answer that. Fine, you're right. You can't learn it from a mamotzinu because there is a big difference between them. However, you can learn by a kavachoimu. Uman nazir bakever madoch, a person who became a nazir while he was in a graveyard. Which we learned earlier in the Masechta, we had a whole discussion about the ins and outs of that. And shesaorei roi l'teglachas. Now his hair is shesaorei roi l'teglachas nazirus. His hair is suitable for the shaving of a nazir. So we learned earlier in the Masechta that such a person, he's not going to shave and bring a korban tumah when he goes out of the Beis HaKodesh. What's going to happen is that at the end of 30 days, he is going to shave for Nazirus, but still, he only starts counting when he actually leaves the Beis HaKvaris. So the hair that he grew there in the Beis HaKvaris is not going to have to be shaved for Tuma. It's only going to be shaved for Tara, but it's going to wait. It's just going to wait until he leaves the Beis HaKvaris. So his hair is roi l'teglachas Nazirus. It's suitable for the shaving of Nazirus because it will be shaved at the end of his 30 days of Nazirus. Just we're saying the 30 days won't start right away. They'll start after he leaves the Beis HaKvaris and becomes Tahor. Ein Olam Lo Min HaMinyan, and yet we're saying that becoming Tomei Mes is enough that those days don't count towards his Nazirus, because again, he doesn't start counting his Nazirus until he leaves the Beis HaKvaris and becomes Tahor. Even though he's not bringing a korban or anything, well then, the days when he's a confirmed mitzvah, where that hair is not going to be shaved for nazirus tara, because after all, before he ever reaches the end of his nazirus, he's going to have to shave it off for tzaras. So loy kolshken, how much more so that those days, how much more so that those days should not count towards his nazirus. So we can learn it that way. Fine. So we accept that kal v'chomer, and so now we've established how we know what it said in our Mishnah that the days when he's a confirmed mitzvah don't count towards his nazirus. He doesn't forfeit the days that he did until now, but it means, in other words, that if he's a mitzvah cholot for a week or 2 weeks or what have you, then the counting of his nazirus is suspended, and he's going to resume the count only after you make chalote. Okay, continues the Braisa. And then when we get to the end of the Braisa, then we're going to see how this contradicts Rav Chista's point about that sometimes the days do count. So the Braisa continues, the Ainli Eli Yemei Chalutoi. Now, from that, you would only know so far that the days of Chalutoi, the days when he's confirmed Mitzora and has to be outside the city, etc., that those don't count based on the Kavachomer that we did, based on the Kavachomer that we just said. Yemei Sofre Minayin. How do we know the same is true of the 7 days that he counts between the first and second stages of his Tara? So now we need a different limud for it. Tosfos wonders, actually, we should be able to learn again from a kavachomer, the same kavachomer that we just used to say yimei chalutoi should also work for yimei sfiroi, because after all, at the end of yimei sfiroi, he's also going to have to shave his hair. So first the Braisa tries with dinhu. So we can learn it by a mamotzinu. Ma yimei chalutoi tone to glachas, just like the days of his chalutoi of his confirmed saras requires at the end a shaving. Af yimei sofrei, the same way we know that the end of his 7 days of counting also requires a shaving at the end, because that's the procedure. The mitzora, once the saras is healed, the Kohen comes and does the whole thing with the two birds and the water and so forth. Then the Mitzora shaves. Then he starts counting 7 days. At the end of the 7 days, he shaves again. Then the next day, he brings his korbanos. So just like Yimei Chalutoi, he's shaving at the end of them. After Yimei Sofrei, the same way, at the end of his 7 days of counting, he's also shaving. Therefore, Uma Yimei Chalutoi in Oda Lemin Aminin, Af Yimei Sofrei. Therefore, we can make a mamotzinu between them and say that just like the Yimei Chalutoi don't count, so do the Yimei Sofrei. So fine. Therefore, Uma Yimei Chalutoi in Oda Lemin Aminin, so just like those days don't count, Af Yimei Sofrei the same way with the days that he counts. Okay, now continues the Braisa. Yochol af yimei hesgeri kein. You would think maybe the same thing is also true of the days when he's quarantined. So again, when the person first comes to the Kohen with suspected saras, and we know from the Psukim that sometimes the Kohen has to lock him up for 1 week or 2 weeks to see what develops. Does the saras develop does it spread? Does it develop white hair, etc.? So maybe we should say those don't count towards the days of his Nazirus as well. V'hadin noisen, and you would think to learn that from Mamotzinu. Cholot metame mishka v'moshav. After all, a confirmed mitzora is metame anything he lies on or anything he sits on. So this is Tumas Midras. We usually talk about Tumas Midras in connection with a Zov, but in fact it does apply also to a Mitzora, although here there's a with a Zov and other ones like him, a Zov, a Yeledes, whatever, everybody agrees that the things that he sits on or lies on becomes an Avatruma. When it comes to a Mitzora, there's Machlokas Rishonim, whether those things become an Avatruma or a Rishon Matruma. The Rambam holds they become an Avatuma. The Rashi and Tosfos in various places in Shas say that they only become a Rishon Latuma. whatever the case, the fact is that a cholot does that. Anything that he sits on or lies on becomes tame. And you may have scared him a time of Mishka Ramoshev, but you may have scared him a time of Mishka Ramoshev. And the same thing during the time of his quarantine, he's also Matam and Mishka Ramoshev. So therefore, we should say, so now, if we've already learned by a Kavah Chomer, as we said on Amud Aleph, that the days when he's confirmed Mitzorah don't count towards his count of Nazirus, the same thing should be as far as his days of quarantine. One thing we do have to realize is that you have among these various stages of what a mitzvah goes through. In a way, what we're saying is that you may. Pesgero, the days when he's quarantined, are more severe in that he's Matama Mishka Ramoshev. On the other hand, you may suffer already. He's not Matama Mishka Ramoshev anymore. During the 7 days of counting, he doesn't have that severe degree of tumor. His tumor is already lessened. On the other hand, as we're going to go on to say in the Braisa now, after you may Hesgero, he doesn't necessarily need to shave and bring korbanos, whereas after you may suffer, he is. So that's what the Braisa answers back. Amarta. So you have to say, look, you can't learn a Kavah Chomer like that. You can't learn a Mamotzinu like that, rather. Im Amarta b'mei Chaluta, because you know what? It's one thing you want to say as far as the days when he's a confirmed mitzvah. You know why? Those don't count towards his nazirus. She can't chaluta, ton to glacha, so maybe carbon. Because again, at the end of it, he has to shave and he has to bring a carbon. Therefore they don't count towards his zeros. Toma b'mehesgeri. How are you going to compare that to the days of his quarantine? She ain't toned to glachas ve'in maybe carbon. The fact is, at the end of his quarantine, he's not necessarily shaving and he's not necessarily bringing a carbon because he's not necessarily going to become a confirmed mitzvah. So Tosfos on the Mishnah had learned actually that if he's quarantined and ends up becoming a confirmed mitzvah, then we would say that his days of quarantine don't count. But if he ends up becoming tahor, then they would count. Well, if he becomes tahor, if the kohen checks him after 1 week or 2 weeks, and there are no symptoms, after 2 weeks is the maximum, and there's no further symptoms of tzaras, it hasn't grown, it hasn't developed white hair, hasn't developed a michya, etc., then the kohen tells him you're free to go. So then at that point, he never got to the point of having to shave. So even though he went through that severe degree of tumah, where he's matam and mishka v'moshav, he never reached the point where he has to shave and bring his karbonis. So therefore, you have a good reason to say that the Yemei Hesker are not like the Yemei Chalutai, because of that point. So therefore, Mikan Omru, based on this, the Chachamim explained to us that you may suffer if you may gomre in Olam and Aminyan, the days when he counts the 7 days between his first and second shaving, and before that, the days when he's a confirmed Mitzorah, gomre over here is another word for Chalutai, those don't count towards his days of Nazirus. Avo, you may have Zov Esgera Shom Mitzorah, but as we looked at the Mishnah, the days when a person is a Zov or a Zova, or the days when a mitzvah is quarantined, hare elo olamai, then those do count towards his nazirus. So in other words, if he became a nazir, let's say, if he was a nazir, let's say for just 30 days, he became a possible mitzvah 20 days into it, and he's locked up for 2 weeks. Okay, so maybe that's not, so actually, let's say, for example, he became a potential mitzvah, possible mitzvah 10 days into his nazirus. So we would say, actually, he was locked up for 13 days, because first 7 days and then another 7 days. By the way, the seventh day counts in both directions, which is why the seventh day is also the first day of the second quarantine. Anyway, at the end of that, the Kohen checks him, finds that Tzaras hasn't spread and so forth, and tells him you're free to go. So therefore now it's, so all that day, all those days count. He's now 23 days into his Nazirus, and he has only 7 more days to go before he can bring his Korbanos. So based on that, so this is the Braisa says, this is how we learn that, because what we're saying is essentially any time when after anytime when after his tumor, he's going to need to shave, then those don't count towards his, those don't count towards his Nazirus. A Zava, there's no shaving involved, even though there is tumor and there is Korbanus. A Metzora Musker, when he's quarantined, there is tumor and a very severe degree of tumor, like a Zava, but there's no shaving and no Korbanus. Therefore, in all those cases, those actually count towards his Nazirus. So now that we brought that long Braisa, now Rav Ashi is going to say, now from this Braisa, we see a contradiction to Rav Chista, where again, Rav Chista had said before that sometimes the days of Metzora, of the confirmed Metzora, do count towards his Nezirus. Rav Chista had said, when it's Nezirus Meruba, when you have enough time after the Tzaras process is over for him to regrow his hair. So Rav Ashi says, Katoni Mias. So we said in the Braisa, Loi imamauta bimei tumah. So you're saying that no, you can't. In the middle of the Braisa, we said you can't compare, or near the beginning of the Braisa, actually, we said that no, you want to say that you're going to learn the tumah of tzaras from the case where a person became a mitzoda in a beis hakavaris, and we said you can't. How can you do that with you made tumah shekin mevatal banis hakodnin? He cancels out. He forfeits the earlier days. How do you compare that to Yimei Chalutai, where, as we learned from a drasha earlier in the Masechta, he doesn't forfeit the days so far. He has to suspend the Nazirus. So Rav Ashi says, B'mai, what kind of Nazirus are we talking about? Ilema b'Nazirus mu'etas. Are you talking about a short Nazirus? So there's not 30 days left until the end of the Nazirus. Well, of course he's mevatel a certain extent, a certain number of days. Haba inin gidol seir. The fact is, he does need to have enough time. He needs to have 30 days to regrow his hair. El alav v'nezirus meruba. Evidently, then, evidently el alav v'nezirus meruba. So evidently, the braisa must be talking about a longer nezirus. So he still has more than 30 days left. And still, Katoni she'ein olam leimin aminyan. And still, the Braisa says that the days of Chalutai don't count towards the count of his Nezirus. Alma loy salkin lay. So there it means that they don't count at all. No matter whether you have 30 days left or not, it's not a matter of having 30 days left. It's a matter of that the counting of days is suspended until as you may Chalutai and you may suffer over. So the Gemara says, Shramina, you're right. You can prove from that the halacha is not like Rav Chista, and the halacha is that you may chalota and you may suffer and never count. So no matter whether there's 30 days left or not, either way, even let's say the guy was a nazir for 100 days, he became a mitzvah, let's say 50 days into it. So you have, he's, let's say, for example, he's a confirmed mitzvah for a week. Then he has a week of counting. We're not going to say he's now 64 days into his Nezirus. We're going to say he's still only 50 days into his Nezirus and he still has 50 more days to go. On the other hand, if on day 50, he had become a Metzora Musker, where he has to be quarantined for 2 weeks, then we would say those days of quarantine do count. So now at the end of that, when he finishes with the 13 days of that, he's up to day 63 and he's much closer to the end of his Nezirus. Mishnah says, now that we talked about the various kinds of, in the previous Mishnayos, we talked about the various kinds of tumas mess that a nazir does have to shave for or doesn't have to shave for. So we said there are certain kinds. We have the ones in the Mishnah on Memtesimud Beis where we said that the nazir actually forfeits his nazirus and has to shave and bring korbanos and do all that. Because of the tumah of them. Then on the other hand, we said in the next Mishnah on Nandalad Amun Aleph that there are other ones, even though they are tumas from a mess, and he does have to be sprinkled with parah aduma water and so forth, but they're not severe enough to make him have to shave. So what's the rule about that? So the Mishnah says, Omar Rabbi Eliezer, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Eliezer says in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Now on the side over here, it says that maybe it should be Rabbi Lozer, because Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are chaverim. You wouldn't usually have him saying something in Rabbi Yeshua's name, but apparently Tosfos and many others of the Rishonim apparently do have the gifts of Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, the rule is kol tumah min ames sha'nozer megaleach aleha. any kind of tumah from a mess that a nazir will have to shave for. So all the 12 kinds that we learned in the Mishnah on Mem Tesema days, the rule is also chayavin aleha abias mikdash. All of those, a person who is tomei with one of those 12 things is also going to be chayav kores if it was b'mezid or korban olav yored b'shogeg if he goes into the Beis Mikdash after becoming tomei with one of those 12. And continues Rabbi Eliezer, "Chol tumah shemina mes she'ena nozer megaleach aleha." On the other hand, any of the tumas from a mess that a nozer does not shave for, so the ones listed in the following Mishnah, "Ein chayav aleha abias mikdash," then a person would not be chayav for going into the Beis Mikdash after becoming tomei. So even though the person is tomei with any of the ones mentioned in the following Mishnah, nevertheless, and some of them are actually daraisa. For example, we had in that Mishnah, we had, for example, Revias Dam, a Revias of blood, or Roivat Somas, a quarter cob of bones, and so forth. Some of those things are definitely Tomei Daraisa. Nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer is telling us that they're not severe enough for a person who becomes Tomei with those to actually be Chayav Kores or a Korban for going to the Beis Hamikdash when he's Tomei with those. On the other hand, Amar a mayor says, how can you say that? You can't say that such tumas should be more lenient than a tuma of a sheretz. Because after all, we know if a person becomes, and the Pasuk actually says clearly that if a person becomes tomei with a sheretz, then he's chayev for bias mikdash. Now, a sheretz is a very light degree of tuma. All he needs is to tovel on the mikveh and need head of shemesh. And yet, the Pasuk is telling us that a person becomes tomei with a sheretz, he's chayev for going into this mikdash. So certainly, then the tuma of a revius dam or roivat somos or any of these other things should not be any less than that. So therefore, the mayor says nothing doing. In fact, a person would be chayev for those things as well. There is actually a shita of the Rambam in that regard. The Rambam says that the rule is that a nazir shaves only for tumas that are explicitly say in the Torah. So not any ones that are learnt by the Chachamim. He uses the expression any ones that are medivrei sofrim, but sometimes the Rambam uses the expression medivrei sofrim to also mean things that are learnt from Torah Shemal Peh, even though they are daraisa. So then the Keren Oda points out then how would the Rambam's Shitta fit? So in fact, the Ravid asks on the Rambam over there. So now the Keren Oda points out that how would the Rambam's opinion, how would his understanding fit with what Rav Meir is saying over here in the Mishnah? Rav Meir is saying that a sheretz is a very minor degree of tuma, and yet a person is chayav for bias mikdash. Fine, the Rambam would answer very simply. A sheretz, it says clearly in the Torah, the various ones that we said, revius dam and roivat somas and so forth, it doesn't. So therefore, there'd be a big difference between them. And so then the brisker Rav talks about and for the Rambam that, of course, a sheretz, it says clearly in the pasuk, but still the ones that are not mentioned in the Mishnah, the reason why is because we would say that ones that are mentioned in the Torah are more stringent. So the mayor would be saying that a sheretz is a lighter degree of tumah, but yet since it's mentioned in the pasuk, that gives it a certain severity. So therefore, that severity should apply to things that are not mentioned in the pasuk, which after all have a more severe degree of tumah. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara asks, "Rabbi Eliezer, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, Gamala. You're telling me that Rabbi Eliezer learned this din about Bias Mikdash from Rabbi Yeshua, where Rabbi Yeshua in the Gemara means Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. V'hamishum Rabbi Yeshua ba Memel Gamala. Don't we know, in fact, that he learned it from Rabbi Yeshua ba Memel, which is a different Rabbi Yeshua? And we know that the Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Amar Rabbi Eliezer." Rabbi Eliezer says that when I traveled to Audaskia, is the name of a place. Some people think that it's another name for Damascus, whatever it is. Matzosius Rabbi Yeshua ben Peser Rosh. I found over there yet another Rabbi Yeshua. Apparently the name Yeshua was very common in that generation. So now I found Rabbi Yeshua ben Peser Rosh. That's his father's name, Peser Rosh. Some people think that maybe there's a relationship over here with Bnei Beseira, where Beseira and Peser is somewhat similar. Anyway, so he says, I found Rabbi Yeshua ben Peser Rosh. Shoya Yoshev had done the Fnei Meir Bahalofa. He was sitting and discussing halacha in front of a mayor and saying this rule in our Mishnah, that any tumah from a mess that a nozer would have to shave for is enough for a person to also be chayav kores, or a korban, for going into the bismikdash with a tumah like that. And if not, then not. So that's Rabbi Shur ben Peser Rosh was saying this. Omer loy, and Reb Meir answers him like he says in the Mishnah, loy tehe kal zu kalam nasheret. You shouldn't think that these kinds of tumas, a revius dam and roivat summas and so forth, should be any less than a sheret. And a sheret, of course, a person is chayev for bias mikdash. So now Rabbi Eliezer continues. So far we have Rabbi Yeshua ben Peser Rosh was sitting and discussing this in front of Reb Meir, and Reb Meir told him his answer. So Amarti Loi, so Rabbi Eliezer says, Klumat Baki Rabbi Yeshua ben Mamel. Are you familiar with Rabbi Yeshua ben Mamel? So Rabbi Yeshua ben Peser Rosh tells me yes. So I said, Kach Omali, Rabbi Yeshua ben Memel, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, then you should know that Rabbi Yeshua ben Memel said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, we're plain Rabbi Yeshua, means Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. So here's where we have, this is the Gemara is asking, that here in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer is saying in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, but in the Brisa over here, we're saying that he actually learned the following din from Rabbi Yeshua ben Memel, who learned it in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. That's what the Gemara is asking, is why in our Mishnah he's attributing it to Rabbi Yeshua, who's Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, rather than Rabbi Yeshua ben Memel. Anyway, he says, Kach omeli Rabbi Yeshua ben Memel, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua. That is the rule. Kol tumah min ames, she'an nozim galeach alea, chayev alea mishum bias mikdash. V'chol tumah min ames, she'en nozim galeach alea, ein chayev alea mishum bias mikdash. So in other words, he tells him, what you said, Rabbi Yeshua ben Peser Rosh, this distinction that you made, and which Rabbi Meir is arguing with you about, and telling you, loy tehe zu kalam in asheretz, you should know, I learned it from Rabbi Yeshua ben Memel, and you can testify for me that he's a reliable person, and he in turn heard it from Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. So in other words, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, so don't worry about the fact that Rameyer is contradicting that, because I have a reliable chain that says that this is how the din is. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer learned this din from Rabbi Yeshua ben Memel, who in turn learned it from Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Why is our Mishnah attributing it just to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya and leaving out Rabbi Yeshua ben Memel altogether? So Omru, so the Chachamim answered, Shmamina, you see from that, Kol Shmaitsa de Misamra Bevei Tlosa, when you have a statement in Torah that is said by a chain of three or more, kadmoy v'asroi aminin mitzioi loy aminin. We only have to mention the first and the last one in the chain. You don't have to mention all the ones in the middle. So therefore, even though it is true, Rabbi Eliezer heard this from Rabbi Yeshua ben Memel, who in turn learned it from Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, but we don't have to mention that whole chain. It's enough for us to say that he learned it from Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. We don't have to mention the intermediate links in the chain. And the Gemara says, Omer of Nachman Yitzchok, Afa Nan Nami Tanena. In fact, we can see this from a Mishnah in Peah. You have a similar concept over there. The Mishnah in Peah describes a case. So you have the Mishnah in Peah is talking about exactly that, the dinim of Peah. Here the Gemara is going to quote one din about Peah. Tosfos points out that the context of what we're going to talk about over here actually refers to a different din. Anyway, the Mishnah says, so the Mishnah describes over there, so Tosfos explains that the Mishnah describes over there a case like this. If a person plants a field of all one kind of grain, then of course he gives only at the end of harvesting his field, he leaves paya at the end of the field on behalf of the entire field. On the other hand, let's say, for example, he had, and that would apply, the Mishnah says, even if he decides that he's gonna thresh the grain in different places and make different piles of grain in different places, nevertheless, it's all one grain, and therefore it's all wheat, and therefore he still gives one payer for all of it. On the other hand, if he had a field of wheat and a field of barley, then he would be giving separate payer for each one. You can't say that he can give a double payer in one and pater the other. What happens? The Mishnah goes on to talk about what happens if he has two, and that would apply even if he decided, you know what, I'm just going to make one big pile of the wheat and the barley together. I don't care about that. Nevertheless, the din is he gives separate pays. So now the Mishnah describes what happens if a person planted two different varieties of wheat, for example, white wheat and red wheat. So then the Mishnah says it'll depend then whether he has to give one payer or two separate payers is going to depend on whether he plans to make one big grain pile of it or whether he plans to make separate piles. So now the Mishnah says, so the Mishnah describes over there how the Chachamim were uncertain of that halacha and they went to the Lishkas HaGozis to ask. And the Mishnah says, Amar Nochum HaLavler, Nochum HaLavler says, Lavler means a scribe, so apparently that was his day job. Kach mekublani min a miyasha. This is what I have a Kabbalah from a miyasha. Shekibol me Abba, who learned from Abba. So Abba can either mean the name of a chacham, or it can mean Abba as in my father. Nochum HaLavler is saying that my father originally taught this halacha, and a miyasha learned it from him and then taught it to me. There was also a girsa over there in the Mishnah of Viv, that Miyasha learned it from his father. Anyway, Shekibol min haZugos, he in turn received the Kabbalah from the Zugos, from the five Zugos that are listed in the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, starting with Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yochanan and going all the way down to Hillel and Shammai. Shekibol min haNeviim, who in turn learned it from the Neviim, from Chag, Hizkiah, and Malachi, who in turn learned Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. That if a person plants sheves, which is a seed in English, it's called anise. They use it nowadays to flavor certain kinds of liquor, whatever. Anyway, or he plants mustard, b'shnayim u'shlosh makomos, in two or three different places in his field, shenosin peya mikol echad ve'echad, that he has to give peya separately from each one. So here's where Tosfos points out, in other words, that here's where Tosfos points out that actually it is true that the Mishnah and Peah mentions that point, but there actually you have it's Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. That's a different thing. So really, in other words, what we have to have, the correct Girsa in our Mishnah over here would be the case in involving the two varieties of wheat. So for example, a person plants both white wheat and red wheat, and now how many payas does he leave? So it depends whether he's going to make one gerda and whether he's going to make one big grain pile and one big collection of the grain in his barn out of all of it, or whether he's going to make separate. So Nochum HaLavler is telling us this whole chain that we know the halacha is like that. So you may find it odd, he says, but that's how it is. Now, says Rav Nachum Yitzchok, really Yeshua v'kolev like Hachoshet. Now you have this whole chain over here, and it goes to the Nevi'im, which, okay, the Nevi'im doesn't just mean Chag, Hizkiah, and Malachi. It means the Nevi'im of the earlier generations as well. But then the next jump is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. What happened to Yeshua and Kolev in between? We know from Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibbol Torah M'Sinai, Masorah L'Yeshua, and then you have Kolev is the next leader of the Jewish people after that. Kolev is one of the Sekanim, and yet it doesn't list him. So therefore, Shmamina. So therefore, says Rav Nachman Yitzchok, you see from that that when you're mentioning a chain, you don't actually need to mention every single person in the chain. It's enough just to mention the beginning and the end, like we have in our Mishnah. So the Chidah actually points out, you know, I mean, first of all, in this Mishnah itself, it is mentioning most of the links in the chain. It's just leaving out Yeshua and Kalev. And we have many other places in the Gemara where it brings an entire chain. So the point is, we see, in other words, that, yeah, sure, you could, it is mention them, it is good to mention them, zochor latov, by all means mention them, but you're not required to, and therefore that Mishnah and Peah Davka leaves out one of the links in order to demonstrate that. So our Mishnah also, leaves out one of them in order to show that you don't have to give the entire chain. And then the Mefarish explains differently. He says that Mishnah in Peah does mention all of them because it's mentioning from the Nevi'im and so forth is all counted as one because they were all during the time of the Bais Sheni. So he understands the Nevi'im over here to be Chagas, Chaya, Malachi, and therefore them, they, and then the Zugas and so forth are all in the time of Bais Sheni, and therefore in effect they count only as one generation. So there's an explanation. The Birkas Rosh explains, in other words, that we know until early in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, the Masoda was always very clear. They knew exactly what they had learned. Only from then on, only from the time of Yosi ben Ya'ezer, did Machloika start developing. So therefore, the Tana doesn't even really have to mention anything until the time of the Bais Sheni. And then from then on, he's mentioning, even though Machloikas developed among the Chachamim, beginning from the time of the Zugas, nevertheless, you should realize that this halacha remained clear and it's been transmitted as is from generation to generation. Okay. Mishnah says, Omer Rabbi Akiva, Danti Lifnei Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Rabbi Akiva says, I tried to argue as follows in front of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was one of Rabbi Akiva's rabbi. Now, so what did we say earlier in the parak? We said that there are tumas that a nazir does shave for, and we said there are tumas that a nazir does not shave for. And among them we had etzim kisa'ora, a grain of bone the size of a barley, which is enough for a nazir to have to shave for if he touches or carries it. And then on the other hand, we had revius dam, a revius of blood, where it is matame, a person ba'oihel, not only b'mago of masa, but even ba'oihel. And yet we had that in the second Mishnah, on Dalet Omer Aleph, as that being one of the things that a nazir does not have to shave for. So Rabbi Akiva says, I was arguing in front of Rabbi Eliezer. I said, it doesn't seem to make sense. We should make a kavah chomer. Ma im etzem kisa'ora, ma doch a grain of bone the size of a barley, which is not matame a person when he's under the same roof with it, or if he overshadows it or whatever, and yet a nozer shaves when he touches or carries it. In that case, revius dam, show matame odem ba'oil, then in that case, the revius of blood, which is matame a person in an oil, and shouldn't it be a kavachomer that a nozer should have to shave for touching it or carrying it? So how are you teaching us that not? Okay, so in fact, the Rosh Udir asks that how indeed would Rabbi Akiva know that? And the answer is Rabbi Akiva had learned from other Rabbeim of his that a nozer shaves for a revius dam. So he's saying, Rabbi Eliezer, you didn't learn that from your Rabbeim, but still you should be able to learn it from a kavah chomer. So Rabbi Eliezer says to me, Maza Akiva, what kind of an argument is that, Akiva? Ain done in kan with kavachomer. Here you cannot learn by a kavachomer. Now he doesn't explain why not. What's wrong with the kavachomer? So Rabbi Akiva continues. When I came and told over this whole discussion to Rabbi Yeshua, who was another one of Rabbi Akiva's rabbeim, Omali says Yofa Amarta. Actually, what you said is would be a valid kavachomer. Ela kain omru halacha. But this is how the halacha is. The fact that a nozer has to shave for a bone the size of a grain of barley is halacha l'moshe misinai. You can't learn a kavah chomer from a halacha l'moshe misinai. So the whole concept of the yud gimel midrash, shatoyin drashas behem, can only be used on dinim that are in the pasuk, or that we learn from drashas, from psukim. We can't use it on halacha l'moshe misinai. So therefore, yes, you have a very nice kavah chomer, but And if the din you were learning from were not halacha Moshe Mitzinai, it would certainly work. But because it's halacha Moshe Mitzinai, it doesn't. Rabbi Yeshua tells you. So the Gemara analyzes how the discussion went over here. Iboilu. So the Chachamim of a later generation had the question: what do we mean? What does Rabbi Yeshua mean? Etzim kisa'ura halacha. Do we mean that the fact that a grain of bone, that a piece of bone the size of a grain of barley, that a nazir shaves for it, is a halacha l'moshe Mitzinai, or revius dam kavachomer, and then the fact that that a revius of blood, Rabbi Akiva would want to learn from a kavachomer, and the ain done in kavachomer mehalacha, and then Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are telling him that you cannot use a halacha l'moshe Mitzinai as a basis for kavachomer. So is that how it is? Or is it the other way around? Oiduma, revius dam halacha, maybe the other way around. Maybe the fact that a revius of blood is matame ba'oihol, the very fact that it is even matame ba'oihol, maybe that is halacha, which Tosfos points out. We had earlier a drosha about the word nafshei smes, but we would say that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua do not hold of that limud. In fact, the word nafshois in plural would suggest a double revius, a half a lug. So then we would say it's only a halacha l'moshe Mitzinai that it's a revius of blood makes a person tamei. But etzim kaseur kavachomer, and the idea of a piece of bone the size of a grain of barley would be a kavachomer. In other words, you would want to learn from etzim kaseur. You would want to learn that the oiho, that the revius dam, which we know from halacha l'moshe Mitzinai is matame, that would make the nazir have to shave. So how is Rabbi Akiva trying to learn? Is he saying it's a given that an etzim kesa'ora is a halacha l'moshe Mitzinai? Fine, I know that. Now I want to learn a revius dam from that with a kavachon. And you can't do that because you can't learn a kavachomer from a halacha l'moshe Mitzinai. Or is it the other way around? He's saying that the very fact that revius dam is matame in the first place is a halacha l'moshe Mitzinai. Then he wants to learn a kavachomer from etzim kesa'ora, which that we would know, let's say, from a pasuk. He wants to learn from that to the revius dam and say if the revius dam is matame ba'oil, unlike the grain of bone, how much more so would you make the nazir shave? And then you would tell, and then they'd tell him the ain done in kavachomer mehalacha. And again, you can't learn a kavachomer. You can't learn a kavachomer from a halacha, meaning from the chumrah, from the fact that the chumrah of a revius dam, the fact that it's matame ba'oil, we would say is a halacha l'moshe Mitzinai, and therefore you can't use that as the basis for a kavachomer. So the Gemara answer, Toshma, we have a braisa that clarifies what Rabbi Akiva was saying. Etzim kesa'ora halacha, the fact that a grain of bone the size of a grain of barley is matame, that itself is the halacha l'moshe Mitzinai, or revius dam kavachomer, the fact that a revius of blood is matame, that we don't learn from halacha l'moshe Mitzinai, that we do in fact learn from a pasuk. So Rabbi Akiva thought to make a kavachomer. So you can't learn a kavachomer from halacha. So it's clear, therefore, the part that's the halacha, the Moshe Mitzinai, is the fact that a piece of bone the size of a grain of barley is matame, a person who touches or carries it. That is what we know from halacha, the Moshe Mitzinai. We don't have a pasuk to tell us that. We had previously, a couple of days ago, we mentioned a pasuk, but Tosfos explains, based on this Gemara over here, that it's actually only an asmachta. So now Rabbi Akiva thought that you could use a kavachomer on halacha l'moshe Mitzinai, same as on any other area of halacha, and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are telling him it's not so. Hadron halacha koyin gadol. Shkoyach, everyone.